Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in Thursday, marking 100 days in office, said he would prevent war with North Korea at all costs. He urged South Koreans to believe there will be no war. Concern over the North's rapid progress in developing an intercontinental ballistic missile has heightened global tensions. In a tweet Wednesday, President Donald Trump said North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un made a wise decision to postpone plans to launch missiles toward the U.S. Pacific Island territory of Guam. Vice President Mike Pence, visiting Chile, reaffirmed U.S. resolve in the face of the North Korean threat.
We truly believe that it's imperative that the regime in Pyongyang understand that all options are on the table. The United States of America will simply not permit a rogue regime in North Korea to possess usable nuclear weapons that can reach the continental United States and threaten our people.
The U.S. has called for a serious effort by Pyongyang to ease tensions by halting its missile and nuclear testing. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for fresh diplomacy.
And it is why it is so important to dial down rhetoric and to dial up diplomacy. For my part, I want to repeat that my good offices are always available, and I conveyed this message yesterday to the representatives of the six-party talks.
Those parties include the Koreas, U.S., Russia, China, and Japan. Kenyan opposition leader Raila Odinga Wednesday vowed to challenge this month's election that he lost in court.
You have now decided to move to the Supreme Court and lay before the world the making of a computer-generated leadership.
Odinga's called the outcome of the August 8 election he lost to President Uhuru Kenyatta fraudulent. Some feared the 72-year-old politician would urge supporters to take to the streets in violent protest. This is VOA News. Sierra Leone has begun a week of national mourning for the hundreds who died in massive mudslides, while the grim task of burying the dead to avoid spreading disease gets underway. Nearly 400 are known to have perished, including members of this man's family.
I have a relative who used to live in this community, my younger sister and her three children with her husband. But unfortunately, they are all dead.
The country of 6 million had just emerged from effects of the Ebola outbreak. Sunil Saigal is the UN resident coordinator for Sierra Leone.
People are extremely traumatized, quite naturally, from a devastating event like this. People are missing, families have loved ones missing. The information we're getting from the communities is that this is the absolute priority to help find missing people and help provide support to the families.
Dozens of homes were buried when a mountainside collapsed during the rainy season in and near Freetown, the capital. Hundreds are still missing and feared dead. Thousands more have been made homeless. The United States, Mexico, and Canada sat down in Washington Wednesday at the start of the first round of renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, a key campaign pledge made by then-candidate President Donald Trump. Robert Lighthizer is the U.S. Trade Representative.
For countless Americans, this agreement has failed. We cannot ignore the huge trade deficits, the lost manufacturing jobs, the businesses that have closed or moved because of incentives, intended or not, in the current agreement.
Lighthizer said the U.S. is seeking concessions, among them tougher rules of origin and changes to the 23-year-old PAC's trade dispute settlement mechanism. Vice President Pence is cutting short his trip to Latin America and returning to Washington, reportedly preparing to take part in a high-level meeting chaired by President Trump and part of his advisors on Afghanistan. The administration has been working to come up with a new strategy to end America's longest war, now 16 years old. In the country itself, a U.S. service member was killed and others were wounded during a military operation against Islamic State in the east. The U.N. said Thursday that the number of South Sudanese refugees in Uganda has reached 1 million, now considered the continent's biggest refugee crisis since the 1994 Rwandan genocide. The U.N. said most are women and children. The wife of Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe is seeking diplomatic immunity in South Africa, where she is the object of a complaint of assault by a 20-year-old model who claims she was beaten by Grace Mugabe with an extension cord at a Johannesburg hospital this week. The 52-year-old First Lady failed to appear in court Tuesday. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barton, Washington. Today is Thursday, August 17th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Sierra Leone plans mass funerals today for some of the victims of Monday's mudslide as the search continues for the missing.
As I'm speaking to you now, and up to this morning, the latest figure we have from the main Connaught Hospital is 331 confirmed bodies that were recovered from the wreckage of this disaster.
Abdoulaye Bérété, spokesman for Sierra Leone President Ernest Bai Koroma. Nigerians demand their ailing president return home to resume work or resign. The number of candidates in today's Liberia presidential election debate is less two. And Zambia's main opposition party says there was no quid pro quo in yesterday's release from prison of its leader Hakainde Hichilema.
We are happy that our party president has been released, and today was a great day for our party. People have been celebrating, they've been dancing, and some of them crying out of joy, and so on and so forth.
Charles Kakoma is spokesman for Zambia's main opposition UPND party, and some newly arriving African immigrants in Italy get training as beekeepers. Those stories plus our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Sierra Leone government will today, Thursday, carry out mass burials for some of the victims of Monday's mudslide as the search continues for the estimated 600 or more still believed to be missing. Abdoulaye Bérété, spokesman for President Ernest Bai Koroma, says over 300 bodies have been recovered so far. He says President Koroma will attend the burials, which will take place near the city of Waterloo, about 20 miles east of the capital, Freetown.
Since yesterday morning, we have been receiving bereaved families at the main Connaught Hospital mortuary. After we put out a statement that we wanted them to come and identify their loved one, so that if they wanted the bodies for a private funeral on their own, we can give them that opportunity. Apparently, some came, they identified their loved one, they prayed with them, gave them a last respect, and eventually they handed over the corpse again to the government that they trust the government for the deputy funeral that was going to happen later today. So as I'm speaking to you now, all the modalities have been put in place. We'll be taking the corpses, and up to this morning, the latest figure we have from the main Connaught Hospital is 331 confirmed bodies that were recovered from the wreckage of this disaster. And His Excellency the President, of course, he will be in Waterloo, which is about 20 miles away from Freetown. And buses have also been provided for the bereaved families and other well-wishers, particularly when we have also instituted a 7 days national mourning. So a lot of people are going to sympathize with what is generally believed to be a national tragedy.
Mr. Bérété, in the wake of today's mass burial, is it an indication now that the search and rescue is over? Because one account I'm reading is that as many as maybe 600 to 900 people might be unaccounted for.
Well, it is for the very reason that you rightly cited, that we are not going to cancel the search and rescue. Because up to this morning, as we are preparing for the burial, we can still see ambulances roving to the mortuary, bringing in bodies. So this is where we are still continuing the rescue operation, and we are still very optimistic that down the road we might be able to get survivors. Because the good news, though, is of the survivors we have in our various hospitals, there are very indications that their survival is over 90%.
How concerned is your government about the possibility of a disease outbreak? Because this is rainy season.
We are very much concerned. We have activated a level 3 security apparatus, which is a military aid to civil communities. We have also working with the Ministry of Health and Sanitation, and in one of the pillars to establish as part of a coordinated response, we have the water and sanitation and hygiene pillar, which is very key. And as I'm speaking to you now, We have gone to the affected community just to make sure that preventive measures have been put in place.
Abdoulaye Birete is the spokesman for Sierra Leone President Ernest Bai Koroma. He was speaking with me from the capital, Freetown. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari has been in London since May this year, seeking treatment for an unspecified ailment. Last week, he announced that he is ready to return home, but Nigerians are growing impatient. An online campaign known as Resume or Resign is gaining traction across the country. Chika Odua reports for VOA from Abuja.
This year, President Muhammadu Buhari has spent more time outside of Nigeria than in the country. Buhari returned from London in March after being away for nearly 2 months, treating an undisclosed illness. He left again on May 7th. During both of his absences, Buhari has followed the constitution, temporarily passing executive power to his vice president. Citizens say it is time for the Nigerian president to make a decision. Either get back to work or step down.
Our president is missing. We want to see Buhari.
Buhari no longer our president. Where's our president?
This street rally on Tuesday is one of several that have been conducted in the capital of Abuja over the past week. Participants carried banners with bold words printed: Resume or Resign. The slogan stems from the hashtag campaign that started online earlier this month and quickly spread. In Lagos, there have also been street demonstrations. On Tuesday in Abuja, the Resume or Resign activists entered an open market and came face to face with the market traders, many of whom are avid supporters of President Buhari. Say Buhari, say Buhari, the pro-Buhari supporters began chanting. It means only Buhari in the local Hausa language. VOA saw pro-Buhari supporters begin beating the Resume or Resign activist. Local newspaper reporter Oludare Richards said he had to seek medical treatment after the Tuesday rally.
I was hit with big stones and covered with blood.
Nigerians are divided over the issue, but the calls for resignation are getting louder.
Him remaining as a president is just a virus to the country as well, because he is someone sick for the first time will always be sick.
He should be allowed to recover and come back and continue being our president, and we love him so much.
It is only in this country a president would try to run a whole country like this from another country. I mean, don't we have shame anymore? What is going on?
It's better for him to resign and face his hurt. Yeah, he should hand over power to his vice. So I think the vice will do better.
VP Yemi Osinbajo has been an active acting president. He has carried out the daily duties of state, and he has been pushing an economic agenda to attract foreign investors in hopes of lifting Africa's most populous nation out of its recession. Last week, Buhari announced that he is ready to return from London and is waiting for his doctor's approval, though the Nigerian people remain in the dark about the president's exact state of health. His advisors and the First Lady say he is recovering and doing fine. But there is much doubt. Nigeria's constitution requires a 2/3 vote of the president's cabinet, as well as confirmation by a medical panel that the president is, quote, incapable of discharging the functions of his office, end quote, before he could be removed.
What do we want?
Resume or resign!
They say they'll continue protesting in the streets until the president returns to Nigeria. Chika Odua for VOA News in Abuja.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today's Thursday, August 17. Daybreak Africa time, 14 minutes past the hour. Organizers of today's six-candidate debate in Liberia's October 10 presidential election say the number of participants has been reduced by two. The debate is expected to focus on six issues of concern to the Liberian people, including the economy, security and rule of law, peace and reconciliation, anti-corruption policy, agriculture, and youth empowerment. The purpose is to make the candidates discuss issues rather than personalities. Lami Bogoyo is a member of the Deepening Democracy Coalition, the group that is organizing today's presidential debate. He says the two candidates who will not be participating in today's debate are Senator George Weah of the Coalition for Democratic Change and former National Bank Governor J. Mills Jones, who is the presidential candidate of the Movement for Economic Empowerment Party.
Two of the participants told us yesterday that they are no longer going to be participating. Mr. George Weah's campaign team contacted us and told us that he will not be participating, but they will participate in later debates. Mr. Mills Jones's campaign team also contacted us to tell us that he's in another part of the country, so he will not be able to participate.
What is the reason for Senator Weah not wanting to participate?
According to what his campaign people told me yesterday evening, the letter that we sent them as invitation to the debate got mislaid by people within their office, and it was just yesterday that they got hold of the letter, so it didn't provide them ample time to prepare.
Are you planning on having another presidential debate?
Yeah, we are hoping to do two more, and the next one will be based on the same criteria that we set for this one. And then we'll do one that we bring together the other candidates that do not feature in these ones that are opinion pool based.
So you said that the Vice President, Mr. Boakai, and the rest of the other people are going to participate?
Definitely. Mr. Boakai's people informed us that definitely they are participating. They will be in the debate hall today, in fact.
I was not quite clear. Is this the first time that such a debate of presidential candidates is going to be taking place?
For this season of elections, this is the first one that is taking place in Monrovia that bringing together the top candidates.
What I mean, historically, has there been any presidential debate?
Yeah, historically there have been presidential debates, but the profile that we have been able to get in this debate hasn't historically occurred. The last presidential debate that happened was in 1997. Interestingly, in that debate, Mr. Taylor, who eventually won, did not participate, and also Mr. Kumar, they failed to participate at the time, and they were the major warlords in the country. But the other candidates, like Mr. Shalibu, came second in that election, participating in those debates, along with other political leaders.
Lamin Bogoyo is a member of the Deepening Democracy Coalition, the group that is organizing Thursday's presidential debate in Liberia. He was speaking with me from the capital, Monrovia. Zambia's main opposition party, the United Party for National Development, UPND, says there was no quid pro quo in yesterday's release from prison of its leader, Hakainde Hichilema. He had been charged with treason for failing to make way for President Edgar Lungu's motorcade. There were rumors that the government was planning to drop the charges if Mr. Hichilema would recognize President Lungu as the legitimate president. But on Wednesday, the director of public prosecutions dropped the charges without giving a reason. Charles Kakoma, spokesman for the opposition UPND party, says Mr. Hichilema will hold a news conference in the next few days to address a number of issues, including whether to recognize the Lungu government or not.
We are happy that our party president has been released, and today was a great day for our party. People have been celebrating, they've been dancing, and some of them crying out of joy, and so on and so forth. From the High Court up to the prison facility, to our headquarters, and then up to the president's house, people have been celebrating.
So, as I asked you the other day, yesterday or so, why was he released? Was there any deal made for him to be released?
Well, the evidence that was presented in court was that the director of public prosecutions cited a provision in the Constitution that as a director, she had power to discontinue any case, giving reasons or no reasons. And some of the issues under that article that she cited that it could be to avoid any abuse of power or indeed due to Mao administration or in public interest. Any of those or any other, she can cite them and set anybody free.
Mr. Hichilema did speak to his supporters, and I understand that he thinks that now is the time for Zambia to move forward. What does that mean? Can it be interpreted to mean that he's willing to work with the government?
Well, anybody who is following Zambian politics can see that What has happened today is just one step towards building a democracy in Zambia. Hakainde Hichilema was released today, but that's not the only important event in the history of Zambia's politics. What is needed now is to push the agenda forward to, again, reclaim Zambia's democracy. People have lost their human rights, their freedoms, and now we are back to a stage where we are almost going to dictatorship. And today's release of Hakainde is going to stop dictatorship happening, back to regaining freedoms and rights of Zambian citizens.
But Mr. Kakoma, how does the UPND help Zambia regain its democracy when your leader refused to recognize the election of the president through a democratic means?
Well, as I understand things now, we are going through a process of dialogue. And that process of dialogue includes the issues of election and the issues of recognizing somebody or whoever claims he won. So that things must be put on the table, they are discussed, and we arrive at some concrete solution.
So the process of dialogue, but you are saying that Mr. Hichilema did not promise to recognize the president as a precondition for his release.
We don't know about any promise. He has not told us anything. Even before he came out, he did not tell us anything. Today, when he came out, he did not talk about any promise. So as of now, the issues of recognition are still a matter of speculation. In the next 2 days, Mr. Hichilema has promised to hold a press conference where the issues of recognition and other issues, including the presidential petition, are going to be addressed.
Charles Kakoma, a spokesman for Zambia's main opposition UPND party, he was speaking with me from the capital, Lusaka. A spokesman says Zambian President Edgar Lungu did not insist that opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema should recognize his government as a precondition for Mr. Hichilema's release from prison yesterday. But Amos Chanda says it is a requirement for the main opposition candidate to acknowledge the outcome of the 2016 election without exception. Still, Chanda says the decision to drop charges against Mr. Hichilema was purely the choice of the Director of Public Prosecutions as mandated in the Zambian Constitution.
The Director of Public Prosecution has options when any criminal case is before court. The power is inherent in the Director of Public Prosecution when the matter comes up for trial to continue or discontinue the case. In this case, the Director of Public Prosecution exercised that power and decided to discontinue the case.
How can that be justified when Mr. Hichilema spent 3 or so months in jail and then the public prosecutor decided to drop the charges? This indication that people say your government did not have any evidence to continue prosecuting Mr. Hichilema.
The decision to discontinue a criminal case when trial started is purely a prison of the Director of Public Prosecution, and under Zambian law, she's not obliged to explain how and why she reached that decision. What I do know, given the events of the past 2 weeks, is that among the dignitaries that came to Zambia and decided to visit the opposition leader, one of them was Patricia Scotton, the Secretary General of the Commonwealth. She said if it were possible to leave the 2016 elections and look forward, and the two leaders initiated dialogue that will lead to the resolution of the points of differences that the opposition raises and against where the ruling party stands. A process of sorts was implicit in the actions of the Secretary General. She wanted to initiate a dialogue, and that dialogue may lead to constitutional electoral reform. Anything that goes into organizing and conducting elections would be on the table to look at should that be the agenda of the opposition. The president has no problem looking at that.
So there was no quid pro quo in terms of the release of Mr. Hichilema and then he recognizing the election of President Lungu?
The president does not insist on Mr. Hichilema recognizing him. That's neither here nor there. There's no law that compels somebody to make a recognition, but it is a requirement that the opposition leader acknowledges the outcome of 2016 election, which has been endorsed by all international election observers, without exception. So the president put across that view that what is at the center of the stalemate, the conflict, the bad blood between the opposition and the ruling party, was the posturing of the opposition that they do not recognize the outcome of the elections. And from there, upon the dispute, led them to do certain things that ran them into problems with the police. So the president says the starting point to cure this problem is for them to acknowledge the legitimacy of the elections.
Amos Chanda is spokesman for Zambian President Edgar Lungu. He was speaking with me from the capital, Lusaka. The Italian group Cambalage Association saw a need for more beekeepers in northern Italy and decided to train African migrants and other refugees arriving in the country to fill those positions. Mara Alakwa, president of the association, talked to Ricky Shryak about the migrants who have gotten jobs and the challenges to the project.
We were trying to find a solution that could be effective to really give them opportunities to integrate into our society, find a job, and find a place to live. So we found in beekeeping a good opportunity to achieve this result.
How many people have been trained so far, and how do the migrants react to this training? A lot of these countries they're coming from don't have a culture of beekeeping.
So far, in three years, we have trained 65 migrants, and we have activated 44 trainingship into beekeeping companies. The migrants that have accessed the project, they arrive from all over the world, from Africa, but also from Asia, like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Bangladesh. And they really like the project. They are very involved in the professional training during the classes, because the classes are given in an intensive way. So it's three weeks, 1 month of practical and theoretical classes about lessons about beekeeping and also organic agriculture. And they are very involved because they know that after the training program they have good opportunities to get inserted in the labor market straight away after the training has finished.
How many people that have gone through the training have full-time jobs in the beekeeping industry now?
We have activated 44 trainingship, and these trainingship have different duration, from 3 months up to 2 years. So far, because the project is quite a new project, we could say, so far 5 people have a definitive job. They have been inserted in the companies and they work there full time. All the others are doing trainship full time, but of different duration.
The ones who have a 6, 7, 8 month duration, they get salary?
Yes, so the trainship receives 600 euro per month. The fact is that the beekeeping sector has welcomed the project. So a lot of beekeepers company, they have supported the project. And even if it was not requested and even if it was not foreseen by the project, most of them have also provided for accommodation.
That was Mara Alakwa, president of the Cambalage Association. She was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Alessandria, Italy. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. The Sierra Leone government will today, Thursday, carry out mass burials for some of the victims of Monday's mudslide as the search continues for the estimated 600 or more still missing. That is it for this Thursday, August 17 edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley, along with our engineer Jimmy Cook, I am James Barton, Washington, wishing you in Africa a very good day.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. we take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.